In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter. Please be seated. There's something that needs to be said before continuing the blessed proclamation or catechesis of God's word into your ears. This is on my manuscript. I'm not going off of it. For some, what is about to be taught is going to seem as though it is only being spoken towards them. But let it be known that this catechesis is not directed only towards those who may think this. Today there is truly an opportunity to teach everyone. So the pulpit will be used this morning to do just that. Catechesis, according to God's word. Why so seemingly specific? Why go there? Well, first and foremost, because the Holy Gospel assigned for this second Sunday after the Epiphany lends the opportunity to proclaim this biblical understanding. Second, because God brings your pastor through the office of the Holy Ministry, which God instituted, to love and care for you, for all of you, too much to not address it. Third, because everyone stands to gain from hearing this biblical truth. And fourth, and this is hard to say, but it's true, it's because many, for God knows why, and I repeat, God knows why, many do not go to the ongoing study of God's Holy Scripture. So the pulpit may be the only opportunity to get such information into everyone's ears. The pulpit is never to be used for personal words, personal judgments, and especially personal hunches regarding God's word. The pulpit is only to be utilized for the proper proclamation of God's word, and that would be the whole counsel of God's word, meaning both his law and his gospel. As has been proclaimed here before from the pulpit, Luther held the sanctuary to be the mouth house of God. It is where God speaks. So let it be known that that is why you hear you language within the preaching. Because God is speaking to you through the office of the Holy Ministry that he instituted. His law and his gospel have much more of a personal application when it is spoken to you. And just so everyone knows, when your fleshly, sinful pastor writes his sermons, he is writing against himself. Just as he confesses himself to be a poor, miserable sinner, a poor, sinful being, so the office of the Holy Ministry pronounces absolution upon his sinful flesh. After the opening confession, would you want him to turn and say, "I forgive us all of our sins," or "I forgive you for all of your sins"? Just as he communes himself in the office of the Holy Ministry, administering the sacrament of the altar to his sinful flesh for the forgiveness of his sins, so the office preaches to his sinful flesh as well. The you language includes himself. Let that be enough for you to teach others if they ask. Today's gospel text speaks of wine running out and new wine being created by way of water. Here's the preaching of God's law within this text. Everyone's wine runs out. Because everyone's sinful flesh relies on its presumed righteousness. As Luther said, sinful man is truly unaware of just how fallen he is, nor does he even care, because he presumes himself righteous. Creation itself is also tainted. It is all so very fallen. And yet, through all of the fallenness of both mankind and the world, it's always pointing to or related in some way to Christ's death. And that is the gospel. Listen to the very response of Jesus. His mother comes to him modeling the prayer life of a Christian and simply lays before the Lord of creation the truth of the situation. They have no wine. And how does Jesus respond to the fact of the world's running out of something? Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Although stern, the Lord brings the situation to flow through his crucifixion. For throughout John's gospel, Jesus' hour is always a reference to his impending death. The hour in which he will manifest his glory is when he will offer up his life on the cross in love for the world to save it. That is gospel. The reason that the things of this creation fail you and run short is because of the destructive entry of sin into the world. It is only since the fall of man that these things have taken place. And there's an interesting link between the fall of man and the fall of creation, hidden yet revealed within this text of Holy Scripture. The Greek word that is used here to say that the wine failed or ran short is the very same Greek word used in Romans 3, where St. Paul was inspired to write that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The fall is very far-reaching. So much so that the blessings of his good creation are now passing and temporary. They don't last. Houses decay. Cars rust. Food runs out or spoils. Clothes wear out or fade. Good weather is not long replaced by bad. The Holy Scriptures say that this fallen world in its present form is in bondage to decay and is passing away. But so are your bodies. How are they holding up? Not only are they dealing with sicknesses, but death is at your door at any moment of any day. You have failed to fear, love, and trust in God as you should. You have come up short, far short, of reflecting the image and glory of God in your hearts and in your lives. You have sinned in your thoughts, words, and deeds. You have regrets because you are a sinner. And you want your selfish will to be done. And when anyone tries to assert authority, be it through God's preached word, parental guidance, a friend's guidance, parental discipline is really what it says, a friend's guidance, or even a stranger's advice, when anyone comes along to point out your erring ways or to correct and guide you, you roll your eyes in prideful disgust putting up a wall of presumed righteousness while sadly missing the opportunity to be communicated to. But eventually, when the world and your sinful flesh falls short, and you are left pondering why things aren't going your way, here's your sign, all the way from Cana. Your wine is always going to run out. But in the midst of it, you're being pointed to Christ crucified, for that is where your only sure and certain, unchanging renewal is delivered. God's aim is always renewal. That is gospel. Now, this fact, this biblical truth of your wine always running out, brought to me a blessed solace after a phone call that I had made while on vacation. And I pray that it will bring all of you the same blessed solace. I have to take a break. I don't usually preach this long. Bear with me. I called a pastor back in Fort Wayne, who, as I attended the seminary and attended his congregation, I grew to admire as a preacher. For he preached realistically. He preached stern law that didn't allow my flesh to escape. He preached law that killed my sinful flesh, bringing me to live only in the merits of Christ Jesus for me. I was so thankful that God, through him, had pointed me to Christ crucified as my only source of life. As one of the professors even declared over and over in the sem, any time you look for any goodness in yourself outside of Christ crucified, you're cooked. But this beloved preacher of law and gospel, this pastor of over 20 years, I called to ask him if he had ever been told that he preached too stern or too much law and not enough gospel, or if he had ever been told that he was sending people out of the sanctuary feeling guilty because of the stern law that he had preached. And his reply was this: David, I always find it comical that others believe that they know how to rightly divide God's law and gospel, when in fact, even as Luther admitted, it is such a high art that no man will ever be able to properly do it. And for those who leave with guilt, they simply need to repent. They obviously have something that is hovering in their conscience that they need to repent of, to be rid of it. If they want to try to say that my preaching is bringing them to leave guilt-ridden or without joy, then God's preaching of the law is simply done what it was supposed to do. If they have missed the gospel, which is undoubtedly in the sermon and strewn throughout the rest of the Holy Liturgy and hymnody, with the last thing they receive being the very body and blood of the Lord for the forgiveness of their sins, if they are still ridden with some sort of guilt, not having assurance, still viewing themselves as a wretch, and they believe that the sermon is the cause, then I would advise them to review the sermon and locate exactly what it is that they are struggling with, that they may repent of it and trust in the merits of Christ alone. He said it isn't surprising that sinful man wants to pass the buck and say, well, it must be someone else's fault that I'm feeling guilty. Sinful man never wants to believe that he actually could have brought it upon himself. For sinful man is an expert at self-justification and presumed righteousness. I appreciated and thanked him for his words, but also thought them too appropriate not to share with everyone. And when reading the gospel text for today, it became clear. Some may possibly leave feeling guilty. And why? If you are not at peace in Christ the crucified for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, if you are focused on you and your feelings or actions, even the misunderstanding that you need to muster up a better quality or quantity of repentance, my friends in Christ, heed the scriptures. Say to yourself, as your sinful pastor says to himself when he struggles, your wine will always run out. It will not last. Your flesh falls short. Welcome to the Christian life of being a sinner and saint at the same time. You're in good company, for St. Paul himself is found constantly struggling with his sinful flesh in Romans chapter 7 and elsewhere throughout Holy Scripture. But thanks be to God that Christ's hour has come. He was crucified for you, and you are forgiven of your sins. That is your hope, your peace, and your joy. You cannot and never will find it in yourself. Sinful flesh wants to glory in itself, but all the glory goes to God in his rescue and renewal of you through Christ. This is a great understanding because it gives further understanding to the words of the offertory that immediately follows law and gospel preaching. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. He is free, and he gives that freedom to you. The gospel. Here's the beauty of how Christ points to himself and the renewal that he brings into the world as he manifests himself through his first miracle in Cana. The wine has run out. The jars are empty. They have nothing to offer. But what are they filled with? Water. And what is the water turned into? Wine. And how is it that you were remade? Not reformed, but remade. How is it that you were reborn from above? How is it that you, who have been brought to nothing by way of God's law, having nothing to offer, are remade into the only image that reflects the only proper glory of God? It is by way of water, brimming with overflowing grace through the font of holy baptism, where you were baptized into Christ's death and resurrection, receiving new life through him who is your life. And how is it that you are brought to live from that blessed rebirth? How is it that the recreated you is continually kept in Christ's righteousness, sealed to you in the waters of holy baptism, satisfied bountifully and joyfully. How is it that he brings you to proclaim his death until he comes? It is by way of his blood, which covers you and recreates you to be his spotless bride. His blood in, with, and under the bread and the wine, satisfying the recreated, repentant thirst for righteousness that he brings you to have, keeping you holy and righteous with nothing left to be done. For he did it all for you already in his hour of glory. Your wine will always run out. Thanks be to God, by his miraculous grace alone, Christ crucified for you for the forgiveness of your sins will never, ever run out. That is your true joy, for through him is your true peace and life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.